translation. O foremost amongst the great thinkers, Munis, Shaunaka in brackets, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. Purport. The Brahmastras are finer than the nuclear weapons. Ashvatthama discharged the Brahmastra simply to kill the Pandavas, namely the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira and their only grandson, who was lying within the womb of Uttara. Therefore the Brahmastra, more effective and finer than the atomic weapons, not as blind as the atomic bombs. When the atomic bombs are discharged, they do not discriminate between the target and others. Mainly, the atomic bombs do harm the innocent because there is no control. The Brahmastra is not like that. It marks out the target and proceeds accordingly without harming the innocent. So, this purport, as we see, is actually describing the atomic bombs and weapons and how the atomic bombs do not discriminate from the innocent people. When I was at school, we had a group where we had gone to a group and we had to do a topic, you know, for a long, you know, the school, a group topic. So someone came up with the idea of the topic was that actually the bombs, the Enola Gay dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end the war between the Japanese and the Americans. And the effects they had on the actual survivors, and what they reported, what they had to say, and so, and as you know, so many innocent people were killed at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So one of the survivors of the Hiroshima one, he was a Japanese gentleman, but he was a Christian gentleman. And at that time, you could not preach anything but the state religion, which is, I think, Shintoism, I think, in Japan. So he was arrested for preaching Christianity. And the prison he was in was actually the center of Hiroshima, the city. So he was in prison. Then, as he was in prison, he heard an explosion. But the building, he survived. But there was some damage to the building. So when he got out, he looked around him. He saw everything was flattened, and he just saw piles and piles of ashes where people were standing, where they were just reduced to ashes because the heat the atomic bomb, the heat, when it explodes, the heat, first is wind, then the heat just, and then it destroys the body, and then Nagasaki, there were two boys, they were doing, which is on the coast, they were doing pearl fishing. So one of them went down to get some dive for pearls, and one was upstairs on top of the land. Then he felt, the one in the diving for pearls, he felt some disturbance in the water. And when he came to the surface, there was a house there, but there's a small wall, and he could see, all he could see was on the wall was the silhouette of his friend that was just turned to ashes. So it says here in the innocent people were harmed, and so therefore the to actually really understand this purport, it may be speaking, Prabhupada may be actually speaking about the Brahmastra, but we find the absolute truth, which is Tatravichar, and this Aparavichar, which is apparent truth. So according to one's understanding of the Siddhanta, one will not see this purport is about the atom bombs, but one will see many things that are hidden in this purport according to one's Siddhanta, if one knows the Siddhanta, the conclusion of the Shastras. Because this is all building up to the appearance of Krishna, the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan and Mathura. And of course here, Krishna is also, this part of Bhagavatam is actually Krishna is actually after his appearance in. So therefore the Nitya Siddha or Jiva Mukta Bhakta will see something completely different. It will see So the Bhagavatam has five meanings. This is from the Shrimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Number one refers to Krishna and this creation or his creation. Number two refers to Madhurya Ras in relation to Brajendra Nandan Krishna. Three is the relation of congenial Radha, the relation to congenial Radha and Krishna. Five is the relation to Radhika. This is because without her power, Krishna cannot do anything. Five, and it is in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the meanings of all the words will then all refer to him. So this is the five meanings of the Bhagavatam, according to Prabhupada's purport. Now, to really understand the Bhagavatam, we have to take shelter of a Jiva Mukta, a devotee, a liberated soul. Now, there are actually eight symptoms. Now, I copied this from the Bhagavad Thakur's Jiva Dharma in one of his chapters. There are eight symptoms of a Jiva Mukta, liberated soul. Apata, apahata papa, free from all sinful activity and the nescience of Maya. Vijara, free from all miseries of old age and decay. Kumutru, has conquered death and rebirth. Visoka, is beyond material happiness and distress. Vinyagna Shoshota has no longer desires material enjoyment. Apihata has no desire other than the service of the Lord. Satyakama, whose desires are always faultless and direct to the supreme truth, Krishna. Satya Sankalpa, those whose wishes are always fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. So, of course, the general thing is that if we're not Jiva Mukta and back liberated souls, that means we're eternally. We're Nityabhadas. We're eternally conditioned souls or bonded souls. And the bonded souls, they cannot understand because of our conditioning. We cannot understand many things. So we follow. The process of sadhana bhakti, and so sadhana bhakti, as we know, is in two categories: vaidhi and raganuga bhakti. Now, vaidhi bhakti, we all know, it means follows in the rules and regulations as pertain to the scriptures. And Raganuga Bhakti is actually following spontaneously. But we cannot jump over Vaidhi Bhakti. We cannot jump over them. Over Vaidhi Bhakti, we cannot jump. We have to follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. By following the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one feels attraction, and then one comes to Raganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, the devotees on Raganuga Bhakti, they still follow Vaidhi Bhakti externally. But internally, they spontaneously, their service is spontaneous. There's no need to be asked to do the service. They'll spontaneously do it. But the conditioned soul, due to the their conditioning, are trapped in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease, which is actually eternal. Bhagavad Gita Thakur, he says it's actually eternal, but the eternal, he defines eternal as anadi, which is actually one cannot trace where and what time our conditioning started from, due to our many thousands and millions of our past lives. So when it means that we are eternally conditioned, it means we cannot trace where our conditioning comes from. And the only way out of that cycle, of this cycle, is actually, Bhagavad Gita Thakur says again, is actually through sadhu sangha, association of higher, elevated devotees. This is the way to break out of this cycle. So we have to, so this means the eternally liberated souls, or an advanced devotee. And then, when we take shelter of an advanced devotee, he can explain to us the Siddhanta, the conclusion of the Shastra, the Shastras, and then he can clear many doubts, all our doubts, if we sincerely inquire from him, not challenge, but sincerely inquire from him, we can, all our doubts and the hidden things of the scriptures will be revealed to us. Because in this purport here, there are, if one is an Uttam, but if one's an Uttama Bhakta, on level of Uttam, he will see many different things in this purport than a Kanishtha Adhikari will. And the Majjhim Adhikari, he will see more than the Kanishtha, but the Uttam, he will see many confidential things in these purports written by Srila Prabhupada and the Anara Acharyas. And then, the process given by the Acharyas and the process given by Srila Prabhupada is that in the past this word Raghunuga seems like a taboo word sometimes to people in a certain, but as I heard one class some years ago in Mayapur, he said, but the process that Prabhupada has given us, the Vaidhi Bhakti, if we're sincere, should be leading eventually to Raghunuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, now Srila Prabhupada, he gives a very good example. He gives in one of his purports, I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita, of a jar of honey. Now, you cannot taste the honey unless you open the jar. You can lick the jar, but you know, if you lick the jar, you see the honey in the jar. But if you're licking the jar, but how can you taste it unless you open that jar? And then you can taste it. So he said, Vaidhi, bhakti, is like licking the jar from the outside. And Raghunuga bhakti is opening the jar and tasting what's inside the jar. Therefore, the Vaidhi process that Prabhupada gives and our acharyas give are leading to Raghunuga bhakti, spontaneous. And now the so Bhakti Thakur, he says again in Jiva Dharma, and it's a conversation between Brajanath and Raghunath Das Baba Ji. So Brajanath is asking the question, what type of Raghunuga bhakti are we eligible to practice? See, we have to practice it as well, Bhakti Thakur says here. Raghunath Das Babaji, my son, you must analyze your own partiality. Your spiritual temperament will mirror your ruchi. Ruchi means taste. And that ruchi will guide you to your favored transcendental rasa. Surrender to a nitya siddha stalwart of a particular rasa of your own choice. Try to imbibe his or her bhav and thus practice Raghunuga bhakti. If you have developed a relish for Raga Bhakti, follow it with activities that are appropriate and supportive. If you have not developed firm and steady attachment for Raga Bhakti, sincerely pursue the rugged path of Vaidhi Bhakti with full confidence in its eventual fruition. So if one, the Bhagavad Thakur says here, then, as it says, if one does not have the taste for Raghunuga bhakti, one should still follow the path of Vaidhi bhakti sincerely. And the other qualification is that it's lobha mayi bhav, it means intense spiritual greed to get it. This is the only qualification. It's not what ashram you're in or what varna, what gender. No, the only qualification is one intense spiritual greed to get it. Nothing else. And now, people say this word greed. Yes, greed is there. But greed, this is what we call, you can call the actual philosophy of Lord Caitanya, where he actually says, you know, this, the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference. So greed here, is spiritual greed, and there's also material greed. So greed is there in us. Greed is there. The greed is always there. But we have to just change that greed, from material greed to spiritual greed. Actually, this process Prabhupada's given us and the Acharya's given us is actually very simple. Prabhupada said, it's simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. This process is very simple. Everything is within us, but we just have to change our consciousness. Just like, householders, you know, they can, you know, but now Bhaktivedanta Phula Maharaj, he said some years ago in Mayapur, he said, so what's the difference between a Krishna conscious householder and a Grihamedi? He said, you'll find a Grihastha, you go to his house, you'll see an altar, you'll see nice pictures of Krishna, you'll see, you know, prasad, but they're cooking, they're offering boga, and they're offering prasad, and things like this. But a Grihamedi, they won't. You won't see nice pictures of Krishna, you won't see prasadam there, you won't see nothing Krishna conscious. So this is the only difference, is just externally everything looks the same, but internally a householder will be worshipping Krishna in his home. And so everything is within us. We just have to change our consciousness. And our consciousness, we start with the process of sadhu sangha, shraddha, then sadhu sangha. We meet a devotee, we have faith in that devotee, and then it goes all the way up to prema. But as the acharyas say, we cannot get prema in this material body. This body, if we had prema in this body could not. This body will be completely destroyed. This material body will be completely destroyed. So the level, the highest level this material body can get up to is Bhava Bhakti, the level of where Maharaj Bharat, Bharat Maharaj was at when he was attracted to the deer. So therefore, we should still follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. And then by the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of the acharyas and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, if we're sincere, we can come to the level of Raganuga Bhakti, but it should not be done artificially. It should be done sincerely and wholeheartedly, and one should have the courage of their convictions to go for the goal. And therefore, when we come to reading purports like this, where it just seems like it's describing the atomic weapons and these Vedic weapons that this material world that they don't have. Because as we know, in the Mahabharata, we find that after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna, he told Arjuna, please step down from your chariot. And as soon as as soon as Arjuna stepped down from the chariot just exploded. It was destroyed. Because during the battle, the opposition, the Kauravas, they used these mantras, these mantras to kill Arjuna, but because Hanuman was there, and because Krishna was there, the mantras didn't work. But as soon as the battle was over, and Krishna left, the Krishna wasn't on the chariot, and then Krishna, as we told Arjuna to leave, and then the chariot was completely destroyed by these mantras. In the Vedic time, these mantras were there, but in Kali Yuga, we can't even, you know, which is a good thing, because if we had this Brahmastra even today, you can imagine how much damage it can do, and other Vedic mantra weapons like the snoring weapon and the rain weapon and so on, the wind weapon, and all done by just chanting some mantra. And of course, there in this Kali Yuga, Lord Caitanya has come to give the ultimate weapon, you could say, for actually destroying the material existence, that chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But the appearance of Lord Caitanya, he has two, we know, two, but the appearance has two categories. One is the external, and one is internal. So we know the internal reasons, and we know the external reasons. And Krishna Das Kaviraj, he explains that the internal reason is more superior than the external reason. But at the same time, through the internal reason, the external reason is manifest. Because the external reason is for others, all others, but the internal reason is for himself. So through Mahaprabhu understanding the internal reasons, he then gives out the external manifestation is manifested through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And so therefore we have to take shelter of a spiritual master in the line of Lord Caitanya and the Acharyas, and then we can then we can aim for the goal of life, which is the projan, the goal of life, which is to get prema bhakti, which comes through first called sambandha, relationship, and then abhideya, come through the practice of one's relationship. And then one who has practiced in that relationship, by bhakti, then one will attain the goal, and then we're qualified to go back to the spiritual world. So then I'll stop here. Any questions?